If you see aviation news happen or a story you think we should be aware of, email us, newstips@avweb.com. Now, welcome to an AvWeb Aviation Bizcast, brought to you by IFR Magazine for this Wednesday, March 26, 2008. In defiance of all lousy economic news of late, the business aircraft industry continues to boom. Teal Group analyst Richard Abelafia told AvWeb's Russ Niles that it generally takes about 2 years for a downturn in the rest of the world to reach the business jet sector. In the meantime, the industry's booming.
The latest and greatest is Bombardier's foray into the semi-large airliner. I understand you've been getting some briefings on it.
It's been an interesting evolution, Russ. This concept, the C-Series concept, originated back around 2004. It had originally been an outgrowth of what was BRJX, Bombardier concept for a 90 to 110-seat plane. C-Series was formulated then as, of course, a growth of that 110 to 135. The original C-Series was actually kind of a, to be polite, dumb chunk of metal. The new C-Series, basically reborn in the past 12 months, is actually kind of an intriguing design. 46% composites, so with primary structural components, wings of composites. Geared turbofans rather than conventional, and conceivably it could be the first application for that technology, which I think is promising. Just a question of launching it. They've been given authorization to offer, but of course that's not the same as a firm launch.
With fuel prices the way they are and the buzz is about turboprops, is there room for this type of innovation?
I think there is. Bombardier, though, is really trying to move up a bit from the regional market, which of course presents problems in and of itself. They've always had the sales contacts in the regional business and, of course, long-term affiliations. This is really getting into Airbus and Boeing territory. And that's a new foray. I think there's an opportunity here. The problem really isn't on the demand side, it's on the supply side.
How so?
Well, you look at the history of Bombardier, it's been a very long time since they've built a clean sheet of paper design, certainly never one that they've done, at least as far as air transport goes. Most of the big boys in the business spend about somewhere between 5-10% of their sales on research and development. Boeing's at about 8, Airbus about the same. Most of the other companies that play in the commercial business, somewhere between 5-10. Bombardier is unique. They've never spent more than 1.5%. Even now, they're only spending about 1.1%. That's insignificant. That basically means they've got some folks with a CAD-CAM machine, a fax machine, and a coffee maker. They need to become a very different corporation in order to bring the C-Series to market.
Does this have any synergy with the Lear 85 that they're building, the composite one that Grob is going to build for them?
I think it's kind of intriguing. I think Bombardier knows that for the first time it's going to have to outsource outside of Bombardier. They've always been good about sourcing structural components at Bombardier companies, whether de Havilland or Learjet or Short Brothers. I think now, given the importance of composites, and certainly the Lear 85 is the first example, they're needing to work with others in order to gain access to these technologies. Obviously, with the 85, they're working with Grob. I think it's quite possible that they do the same thing with the C-Series and start talking with other companies that have that capability, whether it's the Japanese or whether it's Spirit AeroSystems. I think they're going to need to look outside to bring that capability to their product.
Weren't they talking with China as well?
That was the strange and vaguely embarrassing incident last Paris Air Show when they sort of announced this mutual let's show up and not bring our checkbooks moment with Shenyang, an AVIC company. Basically, Bombardier agreed to put money into the ARJ21900, which is very close to the C-Series 110, and Shenyang agreed to invest in the C-Series. And, of course, Shenyang hasn't done much with composites. They've never built a fuselage, and their ability to find the money is certainly open to question. So this is one of the bigger mysteries, arguably a step backwards for the C-Series.
The market seems fairly crowded with China getting in on it. The Russian Superjet has suffered some delays, and now Mitsubishi talking about the same sort of size of airplane. Is there room for all of these?
The problem is that the real crowd is in that 70 to 90 seat zone, which is where Bombardier is playing, the CRJ 700 and 900. I think the idea is for Bombardier to leverage that much as they have any cash to leverage and move up a notch. And I think you're safely out of that crowding danger zone if you go with a 110 to 130. Matter of fact, if you believe, as I always have, that there's kind of a no-man's land that's zoned right at 100 seats, they're on the north side of that no-man's land rather than the south side. And there's a big difference in terms of customer base and other key distinguishers, despite the fact that they are so very close in seat class.
Okay, well, in the smaller aircraft, the trend is definitely to turboprops. Do you see that coming down to the business jet size aircraft, or business jet owners going to continue to want their jets?
No mistaking the tremendous popularity of turboprops, PC-12s, TBM-700s, King Airs. These are all almost record numbers, the Avanti, whatever else. But that's all the low end of the market, basically 6 million and below. I think you spend more than that, you become basically uninterested in fuel costs. I mean, it might cross your mind once or twice, but you're more, you know, interested in getting range, cabin, and speed. I think costs are fairly immaterial to you. I guess from a classical economic standpoint, elasticity changes quite a bit, and you become basically inelastic. Your ability to spend money on transport remains fairly constant despite the additional cost of fuel.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the geared turbofan. What are the advantages? How does it work?
Well, it's an intriguing technology that's sort of been with us in one form or another for many decades. Matter of fact, Honeywell's TFE-731 that's on some of the Falcon jets, that's technically a geared engine. The idea is to use a reducer gearbox to increase the bypass ratio in the engine. And of course, you're adding complexity, potentially you're adding maintenance costs, but there's been a lot of progress. You look at some of the Pratt designs for a geared engine in the 80s, the gearbox was huge. Nowadays, because of materials advances and design advances, this is a much smaller reducer gearbox, and the weight penalty, the maintenance penalty is much less than it used to be. So the thinking is that perhaps the time for this type of engine has arrived.
What sort of advantages does it present? Fuel economy, power? What?
It's all about the fuel economy. Potentially there are disadvantages. There's concerns about maintenance costs. But from a fuel economic standpoint, from a direct operating cost standpoint, from a specific fuel consumption standpoint, you could be looking at 15% or more relative to today's engines just out of the box.
Pratt & Whitney is designing these for small airliners. Will they come down into the business jet size? Are they scalable that way?
I don't know how scalable they are towards the smaller type of aircraft. I mean, they're getting down to the 70 to 90 seat class, which you could make an argument is very close to the very high-end business jets. It's kind of interesting, though, you look at the Gulfstream 650 that, of course, has just been announced. The emphasis is definitely on speed, fastest civil aircraft in the world now that the Concorde is gone. In other words, economics isn't all that important. It's all about power to do that, to do, well, 7,000 nautical miles of range. So even if it could be scaled, and I think it could down to that level, I'm not so sure how much appeal it would have. It's just a much less cost-sensitive market than the airline business.
At the other end of the scale, we've got the supersonic business jet market, which you're fairly high on. There have been some developments. It seems like they're starting to get organized, both companies that are planning them.
Seems like it, but of course, you know, neither are going to bring them to market by themselves. It's a question of putting your flag in the sand and hoping that people rally to your side. And frankly, other business jet companies aren't good at doing that. You know, they have their not invented here philosophy that says if it wasn't invented here, we don't want anything to do with it. That could change, and I've always thought the market would be there if they could find a way to make the technical progress necessary and, of course, find the cash. So it's kind of intriguing to watch them. SAI seems to be kind of quiet these days. Aireon made a big splash at Paris, and I think they're going to continue to make their efforts as a sort of easy way to get to market fastest. On the other hand, it's unusual that there's been very little progress on teaming arrangements or any kind of alliances.
Economy, by popular media standards, is in the toilet. People keep buying business jets. What's the rationale?
Well, that's an important concern, certainly. there's no direct connection with GDP or employment or any of that in business jet demand, but there is a connection, as you know, between corporate profits and business jet demand. Typically, it's about a two and a half year lag. And sure enough, the last quarter the U.S. government has, the third quarter of 07, you saw the first downturn in about 4 or 5 years. And that's kind of like steering a supertanker. Once it heads in one direction, it tends to stay that way for a year or more. So I think, you know, no surprise to anyone, as you say, we're heading into a downturn. And I think that's a strong argument for a business jet production peak about 2 years hence, middle of 2010, and probably a dip afterwards.
Significant dip or a little bump in the road?
Well, it's interesting. You look at the history of what we call the peak to trough ratio. That is to say, the heights, you know, reached by the market relative to the lows hit by the market. Last time around, it was kind of unpleasant. It was mid-30s, about 35-38% peak to trough. I don't think it'll be that bad, because I think, ironically, one of the things that'll help keep the number relatively gentle is that you've got capacity constraints. In other words, I think if it weren't for completions delays and whatever else, the real number, the peak, would be higher, and you'd find that that fall-off happened faster. But I think there's some pent-up demand that's going to stay, well, basically taking aircraft for another couple of years. Our forecast calls for basically a 25% peak-to-trough ratio. We've always been conservative, but we're looking at 25% fall-off in the 2013 time frame, and pretty nice recovery after that to new record highs.
The Teal Group's Richard Abelafia. Thanks for listening to this week's AvWeb BizCast, brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. You can check it out at ifr-magazine.com. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.